Yeah. Right. Right, I'm Ollie Armstrong.
I'm Lydia.
I'm Joan Baker.
Oh, I'm Janice Boyd from Arts 50 Alive.
Connor Sturdy.
Vicky Taylor.
Wonderful. And we're going to do some interview questions. Would you like to lead on the WhatsApp chat?
Should just pick any question.
Yeah, absolutely. Any that comes into your head as well, so anything you want to ask, and we'll just see where we get.
Okay. What's your earliest memory?
My earliest memory? Well, a bit of a sad one, really. My earliest memory was seeing a beautiful little chair made of flowers in our front garden. And I'm afraid that wasn't real. It was my dad's funeral. But I didn't know at the time, because we didn't go to funerals when you were little in those days. But I just remember this lovely little flower chair in the outside, you know.
Do you know how old you were from that memory?
Yes, well, let me think. About five. Yes, it would be five, three, yes, because my mum was pregnant with my latest, youngest sister, and they had one in between, that's right, I was five.
Can you tell us about your experience during the war?
Yes, a couple of things I really remember was going down the shelter. We had these shelters made of corrugated iron, what is it? You know, the shelters.
Oh, the corrugated iron.
Corrugated iron. And then you dug a hole in the garden and they went in there. And we shared, next door shared with us, because our garden was a bit bigger to put it in. But I remember I hated it down there. It was dark. And we perhaps sometimes had a candle, you know, so we could see. But it was dark and it frightened me. I didn't like it down there. And my oldest brother wouldn't come. He wouldn't get up out of bed if my mum tried to get him to come up. But he went in the Navy in the end. Because he wasn't actually called up because he volunteered. And he was only 17 really, but he said he was 18. And he went in the Navy. But,
how much older is your big brother?
Yes, he was, he was 17, as I say, when he went in. And I remember before I was evacuated, I got chicken pox. And my eldest sister was a cripple, and they called them cripples in those days. She couldn't walk, she had two leg irons right up to here. And she got measles at the same time. So we went in hospital, and it was a hospital where you couldn't have visitors because of it was catching, you know what I mean? But because my brother, and I hadn't got a father, my brother came home on leave, and they allowed him to come, but we were in like little separate rooms. And they pulled our beds out onto the sort of pond, and then there was like a green there, a grass part there, like outside some houses, you know. And he had to stand over there and shout to us, and we shouted back to him. But he was allowed to come because he was in the Navy, he got to go back to the war, and we hadn't got a father, so.
Just interrupting, you know, you said they used to call them cripples in those days. You know, the Royal Orthopaedic Hospital, locally,
it was
the Cripples Hospital.
Oh, yes, it was the Cripples Hospital. Yeah.
As well as these questions, if anything's said and you think, oh, I'd like to know that, feel free to ask anything.
What's the funniest, story that you can remember about that you've experienced?
I don't know, really. I know while I was evacuated, what was funny to us being from Brom, you know, because I went to Ripley in Derbyshire, not too far away. But because the three of us were, my two sisters were taken in by the same family. And, you know, being little children away from your mum, we had accidents in bed occasionally, you know, with the bed. And, but the lady, Mrs. Wathall, her name was, she used to put the eggshells. They had one of these fires with an oven next to it, you know, a coal fire with an oven, and you did your baking in there. And she used to put eggshells in there till they went crisp. And then she mashed them into powder and put them in milk and gave it us to drink to help us stop wetting the bed.
Did it work?
Well, it seemed to, yes. Whether because we were scared of having it too much, I don't know. Yeah.
Did it taste horrible?
Well, no, not really. And we had tripe for tea on Saturdays. I don't know whether any of you have ever had tripe.
Never eaten.
Probably not.
Disgusting.
But we'd never even heard of tripe.
Do you know what tripe is?
Well, isn't it from the cow's stomach?
Yes.
And you can have flat tripe,
right.
And you can have curly tripe. And the curly tripe is the nicest of the two. Not that that's
nice.
That's not really nice.
What I remember, so I'm a bit younger, but what I remember it looking like, it looks like, you know when you see sheepskin rugs? A bit like this.
Really?
It looked white like that. And they used to cook it in milk.
Yes, it was like, it probably felt
and it smelled sort of, unless they put onions in with it.
Oh, you had tripe and onions.
It smelled of onions.
Yes, you had tripe and onions.
And also boiled pig's feet, proper pig's feet.
Oh, yes, I've done that a lot.
Boiled pig's feet, and then all the jelly used to spill out of them, and people used to pick them up and literally eat pig's feet.
Even when I was married, when I had my first child and he was a baby, because all food was rationed in those days, you had to have a ration book and take to the shop with you. And meat was rationed, and of course you didn't get very much meat. And I used to buy pig's feet, because my mum used to do that. I'd buy a pig's foot, put it in water with some vegetables, like you do a stew, you know. And you have this pig's foot, and you pick all the little bits that were left in the meat. For our meals, yeah.
And there was something that my mum used to cook in the 50s because I was born after the war.
Well, I got married in the 50s.
But there's something called chitterlings.
Yeah, yeah. I never had that.
And I think those were the.
They used to be hot. You'd go and fetch buy those hot.
But weren't they the intestines of?
I'm not sure.
I think they were the intestines of sheep, and they were like lung and.
I know there used to be a shop in
Erdington.
There used to be a shop in Erdington
as well.
There used to be a shop in Erdington that sold them.
I think perhaps, probably my sisters all let it. They were older than me, but I think perhaps me being the youngest of me in the sport, one probably avoided it.
What was like, for enjoying the war and after the war, how did family life change? Like, did people go closer or was it more like?
I think people were close. People living in the road are all friends together. You know, it's like, we're a bit like that, really. I must say British, not English, mustn't I, although I am English. In times of trouble, you cling together, don't you? You know, I think we're a bit more. We're busier these days. You don't see your neighbours these days like you used to in those days.
I think that's true. Yeah. I lived where I live for over 30 years, and it's only a small house, and there are still people in that house. I don't know their names. If I met them out of the close, I would recognise them.
Well, of course, I mean, my mum was a widow in college. Well, five children. When my dad died, my mum was only 3 months pregnant with my youngest sister. She was 31. And she'd already got Jimmy Betsy.
Was that during the war?
Just before the war. Shirley was born in the end of 38. And the war started 39, wasn't it?
How did your dad die?
Oh, he was ill. He was a soldier. And then he came out for a while. He was in the territorial. And he was going to camp. And he was taken ill on the way. And he went into Cheltenham, I think it is, military hospital. And it was peritonitis and he died. My mum and I went to see him once. The army came with a big lorry and took her once to see him. but she couldn't get to see him. And I remember I saw a letter a long time ago, about 10, 15 years ago, from my dad to my mum while he was in hospital, written in pencil, because there weren't biro pens in those days, and it was pen and ink, and they wouldn't let them have ink on the beds in hospital, so he wrote his letter in pencil, and the officer, and it was just the officer, I don't know what rank he was, my dad had just put the officer in his letter, had written the envelope and posted it. That's what they used to do. So she had, it was hard actually. It was in the days of a 10-shilling widow and half a crown each child. So 10 shillings was half a pound, and half a crown was a quarter of a pound in money. So,
child, like, what things did people used to like entertain themselves as children? Did they like play outside?
We used to read, play games, board games, and we played outside a lot, which they're not allowed to do now. Yes, we played outside. Hopscotch, which you can't do now because you're drawing on the footpath with chalk, skipping, tennis. You sat on the curb, and you had these little things that you threw up and caught in the back of your hand, and then you had to grab them. And you used to sit on the edge of the curb and play. There weren't many cars about in those days. As time went on, I don't know. It's difficult to.
What was the question?
Do you think that like this country would have been the same if we had lost the war?
Depends who won. Okay.
I mean, at first it would have been a lot different, yes. But I mean, now, after all these years,
yeah,
we may not have, us living our ordinary lives, going to work and bringing up our families, may not notice.
I suppose, because if you think about the other countries that were involved, and if you look at those countries now, 6 months,
yeah,
probably wouldn't be much the same, really.
Yeah. But you may not. There may be things that you couldn't do now, like speaking out in public about the government and things like that. Excuse me.
Just checking.
The group that we were talking this morning, and they asked us a similar sort of the question that they asked was whether the lady they were talking to thought that the war had changed the way things are done. And she said that she thought that it had changed things for ordinary people and also for women. She said that because women had to come out and take on roles that they wouldn't normally have done,
yes, that's right.
It meant that they were, well, not so much had more respect, but they were just able to get on and do things and had more equality, I suppose.
Yes.
And also, she said that apart from really wealthy people, she said the middle classes got more merged in with working class, which I think is true.
But well, you see, my mum, as I said, she got us 5 children. Well, when we were evacuated, my youngest one, the little one, went to a nursery. And as I say, then my brother was older, of course. And then my 3 girls went to Ripley in Derbyshire. But for my mum, it was a bit of a release. She went to work in a factory. Actually, she worked at the ICI and Kinox. She'd do a morning shift and then run over and do an evening shift in the other one. And the one of them was making bullets for the war. And I know the Germans used to try to bomb there because they bombed the cemetery that was near there. Yeah. And so she got some money for herself instead of having to live on her pension. You know what she got. So in a way, it was nice for her in that way, but of course she missed us. Well, when we were going, of course, we were upset we didn't want to leave our mum. But when we all the school went. All the school went, except one or two whose mothers wouldn't let them go. But the school closed down, and we all went, you know, as a school. But we were going on a charabang. Now, a charabang, they call them coaches these days. But that was a charabang. And, of course, that was a treat to us. I mean, we lived in a poor district where my mum was poor, not too familiar with us. But then, of course, when we had to leave and wave in the bye-bye, you know, it was up. And then when we got there, we were in the village hall. And because there was 3 of us, we were the last ones to go. Well, you know, I mean, really, would you think, would you like to take on 3 little blummy kids, you know, all at once through? And as I say, my sister was that's got these leg irons as well. So, but it was a miner's family. They were coal miners. And their name was Wathall. She was Mrs. Wathall. But the husband always told us to call him Pop. And of course, we hadn't got a dad, you see, so it was lovely having Pop, you know. And there was 2 children, a girl getting near leaving school, which was 14 in those days. I left school at 14. And an older boy who didn't have to go in the army because he was a coal miner. And you see, they were sending people to the coal mines as well. But they were very, very good to us. So we had these funny meals and this thing with the eggshells, but... You know, but she was always Mrs. Wathall. She never said call her auntie or anything like that, no. Because all our neighbours in those days were aunties. You know, your neighbour next door, Mrs. whatever next door, Mrs. Smith, would be auntie to us. But not now, you know. But no, she was always Mrs. Wathall. But he was Pops. But,
how long were you there?
Well, time seems to go a bit queer in the memory. But I think we must have gone about 1940. No, I was born in 31. But I know I was home to go into senior school at 11. I was just there. So, yes, I was just home. A couple of months before we broke up for the summer holiday, and I was in the juniors, then I went up into the city. So I was 11.
But it was a nice experience.
Well, it wasn't a bad experience. We missed our mum, of course. You know, and the youngest of the 3 of us, missed them a lot more. She was always a mummy's girl, you know. She's even as she got older. I mean, Mama used to have to carry her to school, put her in the teacher's arms, and run out the room. You know.
Sounds like my youngest.
So one of the ladies this morning, she was evacuated with her her brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And they had two terrible experiences.
Some did.
They went to Coventry and they were ill-treated. And they ran away and made their own way home. And then they were sent to Wales. And they had their clothes, their coats and shoes taken from them and sold, and they were kept in a barn.
Yeah. Some that went to farms found it a bit difficult.
That was a farm.
They were made to work on the farm. You know. And of course, there were those that were sent abroad, and some of those had terrible lives.
And she said that they wrote to their mother in the end and said, if you don't fetch us back, we're going to run away again.
And, I mean, I don't know why we went home then. We weren't, there was nothing wrong with where we were. It wasn't that we were, you know, we were unhappy not having
a problem.
You know, I think perhaps it's, yeah.
A couple more questions if you have any, and then we'll get Fran to do her art.
Yeah.
Everyone's welcome to stay in for that and take part if they want. I'll let these guys know.
Said everything that you wanted to talk about.
Could I ask one question?
Sorry?
Could I ask one question?
Yes, yeah.
I just wanted to know what's your fondest adventure that you had when you were younger?
I mean, probably the ride out to there and see all the animals. And I remember there was a house down the road. It was up like a drive, and then there's a wall at the top, and then that was the pit behind there. Around the corner there was a man who had got a parrot, and he used to talk, and we used to go and shout at the door at it, and he would shout back at us.
Go and teach him Brummie.
All right, Bab. Yeah. And of course, that was an adventure, just going on the Shadowbangers. Shadowbangers are saying those days to us, you know, because we, you know, we were lived in a, you know, not a very. But
my dad was a child at the time, but he was in South Africa. And his father was, he wasn't in the boat, but he used to work on boats. So the boats would come into port in Cape Town if they needed repairs, and that's where he was. And he says he remembers the crash boats being on the beach, and they used to go play on them. And because I was asking him, I wanted to get him to come as well, but he said he doesn't think he's the only thing really that he could really add, because he didn't experience any of this. So his life just carried on. And his mother had boyfriends who were in the army when they used to come on shore leave, and she had loads of boyfriends. And after my grandfather died, she was still in touch with one of them who came back to England. And before she died, they were writing letters back and forwards to each other. Most of them in the 80s, 90s at that point.
There's a lady that's coming in a couple of weeks.
And she was born in July.
She's coming just because she's interested. And she said, well, we weren't involved in the war. She's coming because she's interested.
Is that enough? And then after I came, I became home. For some reason, I went to live with my auntie. I don't know why I was the one. But I've always been very much more independent than my sisters. So I think that helped me to be independent. You know, being away from my mum in the first place and then living with my auntie. I'd see my mum, but I don't know why I live with my auntie. So I went to a different school to my sisters. But I lived at Perry Common with my auntie. I lived at King Stanley with my auntie. And then we moved up Ordington. Now I live in Northfield. After I got married, we had to live in one room in my mum's house when we got married. There was still, because that was the 50s when they were built, still trying to rebuild the houses that had been bombed in Northfield. Yes.
Thank you for answering these questions.
That's all right.
That's really interesting. Thank you.
Right, we're going to do some art with Fran in a minute.
We're doing some art, so...
Gosh, I haven't. This is number 20.